This is Y Nada Más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. And yep, it's time for another podcast about all things Real Madrid, all things La Liga. Occasionally I'm going to talk about people's stupidity and people's idiocy when it comes to following this sport, and we saw a lot of that this weekend. But before I get into all that, once again, I am Eric Rivera. I am the host of Y Nada Más podcast. Thank you for listening. To all of you that listen, remember to follow us at Y Nada Más podcast on Twitter or X. That's where I'm most active. And lately I've been, you know, chiming in and talking to just chiming in and leaving my ideas there with a lot of, just people that are, I just feel like, man, some people take this shit way too seriously. I mean, there's a reason. I mean, I love the sport. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's why I'm doing a podcast. I invest my time in doing a podcast. I don't make any money off of this thing. I don't make absolutely any money off of this thing. I do it because it's a labor of love and I enjoy doing it. But there's a lot of things I'm going to get into about this today during the podcast that I think, you know, it's my perspective. It's something that needs to be, I feel needs to be said. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure you've heard it from all sorts of different people over the last few days, probably tired of it. But it is what it is. I mean, it's what's going on in the sport. And it's also defending, obviously, Real Madrid against a bunch of, you know, freaking idiots that happen to be from one of our biggest rivals in the sport right now. And so it is what it is. Anyway, you can also follow me, guys, at YNM Podcast. That's YNM Podcast on Instagram. I'm always posting things up there, graphic designer putting up stuff as well. Follow me there. I mean, I don't know how big it is on Instagram to really follow, you know, football related stuff, but it is what it is, man. You know, just follow me there. Give me a follow. It's great. Helps me out. On Facebook, we're also available at Y Nada Más Podcast. And of course, please, if you are listening to the podcast, that's awesome. And I thank you very much for doing that. And, but please also remember that we have a YouTube channel. I am doing these on video. Another thing I kind of want to put out there before getting started on talking about everything that happened over the weekend with the Derby, Madrid Derby and all that craziness. And I also wanted to talk about, the fact that, you know, I don't usually live stream, and live stream is like a huge thing now. Everybody does it. You know, my son's always telling me about live stream. Eric, Dad, you should do live streams. Why don't you do like reactions and all that kind of stuff to the game? So I definitely wanted to do like watch alongs, but I just, you know, I think I want to grow the amount of people that follow me more to sign up, you know, chat with you guys and have watch alongs as we're watching the game. Right. And it doesn't matter. I mean, you could be somebody who's not a Madrid fan and watching the game, like, you know, whatever. but the whole idea is to like watch it together and see it and, you know, maybe just do like some reactions, but I'm still going to do it. I'm going to live stream it. Maybe just cut it up after the fact. I don't know what's better to do a live stream and do like a watch along, or to, you know, just create a reaction video after the fact, I guess. But anyway, it's just one of those things. Or should I do like a live podcast? I don't know. I think for a live podcast or like a live streamed podcast, I would have to have, you know, more people jumping onto the stream, you know, and currently I don't have a lot of fans on YouTube just yet, you know, and I really want to grow that. So with that said, please, guys, you know, hit up my YouTube, give it a subscribe, hit the notification button and help me grow that on there. So a little bit of cleaning house, essentially. You know, I've been out for the last few days. My son got really, really sick. Both of my sons got really, really sick. Then I got real sick. I'm still suffering from it. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. Now my mother-in-law has it. My mother-in-law lives with us. And, you know, it's just really, you know, bad, you know, and turned into like a bronchitis for my son. So I was feeling absolutely terrible, which is why I didn't do, we played against Espanol last week. I didn't do an Espanol podcast. Then we did Alaves. Just been so many games going on. And then today is Monday. Just got back from work, which is why I'm kind of, you know, in this nice shirt and not usual t-shirt or whatnot. And sometimes I wear my Madrid jerseys, but I have them all hanging in the back there. And, you know, I came back and I said, you know, I'm going to do it today because we have a Champions League coming up. The whole thing with the Madrid Derby is still going on. The whole fallout from that debacle, you know, and so that's that, you know. So it's not that, you know, I don't want to, like I said, you know, I've really am 100% dedicated to trying to keep up. And I said, it's going to be once a week or, you know, twice a week if possible, especially with Champions League coming up. So you know, we're going to play Lille on Wednesday. Today's Monday, September 30th. We play them on the 2nd of October. And maybe if I can get a chance to jump on the podcast, I will. But like I said, you know, I got a day job and all sorts of things are going on. So I always try to keep it at least to promise you guys one a week. All right. That's the idea. So let's jump into the podcast. I mean, I wrote a bunch of notes and things like that. So sometimes you'll kind of hear me reading off of that stuff. And I just want you to know that, you know, it's not like I'm like reading off a script or anything. I make notes about kind of what I want to talk about and whatnot. So here we go. Anyway, but honestly, man, I honestly think that really it's crazy to me, but you know, I really dislike Barcelona. You know, I really dislike Barcelona. But I think it's crazy to me in a sense, you know, of course, you know, with Spain and Real Madrid and Barcelona and, you know, the issues with Spanish nationalism and Catalonia and the history that, you know, the bloody history of Spain that people are, you know, is still a sore subject for a lot of people in Spain. So there is the political, like the socio-political ramifications of the rivalry between Barcelona and Real Madrid. You know, those things, they extend for many years into the past, and then everybody pointing fingers and blaming, you know, who's really the team that Franco loved, if Franco even liked football or cared about it. You know, and who cares, man? The guy's dead, and, you know, he was a piece of shit, like, you know, like pretty much every dictator is. You know, I don't feel any sort of you know, happiness in the fact that Franco was part of the Spanish state. I'm not from Spain. I have, you know, ancestry that comes from Spain, but I don't really care about any of that. And then, like I said, when I do this podcast, it's from the English language perspective. And the English language perspective, I think from the outside looking in to people that are new to La Liga, all of the things, they don't know all of this type of history of Spain. And, they, you know, maybe they'll read up on it. So and they want to kind of, you know, the juicy rivalry of Barcelona versus Spain seems cool, but to some people it is obviously a bigger issue than just football. It is, like I said, it is like a socioeconomic issue. It has to do with politics. It has to do with identity, you know, with the identity of Catalonia, with the language of Catalan, with, you know, Spanish nationalism, you know, and the fact that, you know, a lot of Barcelona fans tend to be on the side of Catalonian or Catalunya's independence from the Spanish state. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff, right? And then you have, you know, Real Madrid, which is, you know, seen as the team from the capital, the team from the status quo, the team from the monarchy, as in the Real, you know, the team that, of course, Franco was apparently a fan of, although there's, you know, rumors that it wasn't really a fan of it. It was actually more of a fan of Atletico Madrid, which at that time was Atletico Aviación and had to be, was more linked to the military. So he would probably be more along the lines of being fans with them. But when he saw like the allure that Real Madrid had to the fact that they were doing so well in Europe and, you know, they had this sort of, appeal with them outside of Spain and had this, how would I say, this panache for and and the success they were having, kind of making a name for themselves and by end making Spain, bringing attention to Spanish football. He saw it as a sort of, maybe the idea is that he saw it as a sense of national pride and kind of stood behind Real Madrid. Listen, I am not a historian and all this kind of stuff. So I know things that I've read. I know things because I love history. I've studied history. But, you know, and there's a lot of other things. There's a lot of other nuances there that I don't care to get into nor talk about. You know, there are people far more well-versed on the subject, and you can listen to those guys. And they're going to give you your point of view. At this point, it's kind of like, you know, another hot-bedded topic right now, which is Israel and Palestine. And it's kind of like, you know, you're either one side or the other. And, you know, there is no gray area. There's no gray area. That's the problem, you know. And you know, the Catalan side is going to give you its side, and the Spanish side is going to the more, you know, nationalistic Spanish side is going to give you their side of things. And then caught in the middle is this game of football, which is Real Madrid versus Barcelona. And for the people, like I said, the English-speaking people that are coming to La Liga now or starting to understand or watch La Liga or have been fans of Real Madrid, all of this other extra stuff that happens with the politics of Spain and the history of Spain are neither here nor there. We just want to see a game of football, and the fact that for many years Barcelona attracted some of the biggest players in football, as did Real Madrid, and so you had two of the biggest rivalries of all time. Obviously, Cristiano and Messi even made that even bigger, right? So that is the precursor to everything, you know, of Barcelona. So But my hatred for Barcelona has really never been about them being Catalans or anything like that, because I don't care about any of that stuff, really. My hatred for Barcelona has always been from the footballing sense. Culers just being, for the longest time. I mean, they were causing us a bunch of headaches when they had Messi, when they had Neymar, when they had Luis Suarez, even before that with Ronaldinho, obviously. And then we had the Galacticos. So there was always this huge rivalry aside from all this other stuff, right? Going back even further, you know, you have Butragueño. Going back even further, you have Alfredo Di Stefano, you have Paco Gento, you have, you know, Laszlo Kubala on the Barcelona side. You have, you know, lots of people on the Barcelona side. You have, you know, lots of history there as well, right? So it's a long-standing rivalry. And so my hatred, I guess, has always been, and I use that word hatred, but not in the literal sense of hatred, because the word hatred has a heavy connotation, right? But the idea is that Real Madrid and Barcelona have been these rivals forever, and I dislike them simply because I dislike them. I want to see them lose. I want to see them get relegated. Sometimes I feel bad for them in certain aspects. Sometimes I talk to friends that are Barcelona fans, and, you know, we chat and we talk about, you know, the players that they have. Like, for me, you know, I'm not one of these Madridistas that is so cutthroat that you have to, you know, al enemigo ni agua, you know, like, no, not even water for our enemies, you know? And that kind of stuff, you know, like the hatred has to go way, way, way deeper, right? And it's insanity, because at the end of the day, like, you got to admit, Lamine Yamal is a fantastic player, you know? Pedri, of course, with all these injuries he had, is a fantastic player, but, you know, injuries have done him in. Lewandowski, before he came to Barcelona, was a fantastic striker and still is, even though he's, you know, getting up there in age. You know, I happen to like Araujo. I think he's a great defender, you know. So are there certain aspects? I happen to like Ter Stegen. You know, I actually think sometimes the fans of Barcelona are unfair with the guy. You know, so there are things that I will respect about them, you know, but at the end of the day, I want to see them lose. That's the point. I want to see them lose. That's my rivalry with them. But with that said, after this weekend and then weekends that have been happening for the last few months, I would say for a while now, you know, Atletico Madrid has been officially for me the team I hate the most in La Liga. And in world football, for that matter. I'm sure they have decent, normal fans. But they consistently, like, based on, you know, the things we saw this weekend and the things we've seen in the past, of course, you know, the racism, the Nazi salutes, the Frente Atletico, which are just a bunch of scumbags, and you're going to hear me call them scumbags a bunch of times on this podcast. Great. Good thing is I don't monetize this thing, so it doesn't, I'm not going to get flagged for saying like profanity, because that's what I'm going to do in this podcast. But they shoot themselves in the foot consistently. Like, let's say Atletico Madrid as an organization shoots themselves in the foot with pricks like the people they have in the Fondo Sur, with like El Frente Atletico, you know, these just absolute crazy thugs that they have in the, still allowing them into the stadium. And, you know, the crazy thing is, I just, you know, I don't, this doesn't just happen in Spanish society. This happens in everywhere right now. I think it's consistently going on right now. It's this idea, this whataboutism. So it's your way, the whataboutism is, you know, somebody brings up to you something that they're unhappy with, right? And this is happening in politics and everything. And it's like, but what about this? What about that? So it's just basically you're bringing up, in order for you to justify or to defend a shitty action, you bring up a just as shitty action or worse action that was committed in the past and say, how come nobody ever said anything about that? I didn't see anybody getting it up in arms about that. And it's such a crap argument because you're bringing up something that came from the past, and probably at that moment it was a big deal and people did talk about it at that moment. You just don't remember it because there's a recency bias. You know, since it didn't happen recently, you don't remember how big of a story it was at that time when it did happen. So you say, well, they didn't make such a big stink about you know, people throwing things at goalkeepers or throwing things at players, you know, a couple years ago when they did it to Piqué, or, you know, and I remember they did it in a Sevilla Real Betis game. I think it was Jordan from Sevilla got hit by like a stick that flew from the crowd because Betis fans threw it from the crowd. And I happen to like Betis, but I'm not going to defend that type of behavior, you know? And this thing is, it's funny to me, like people are so caught up in this idea that you have to defend your team, defend your colors, defend bad behavior. If it comes from your team, it's okay. But if it comes from a different team, it's not. No, listen, if Real Madrid fans were throwing crap at Oblak, who I happen to actually like Oblak, were throwing things at Oblak, I'd be equally incensed and be calling out the violence and saying, you know, people are just fucking stupid. Listen, I want to go to the Bernabeu with my son. And the last thing my two sons. And the last thing I want my two sons to see is people throwing stuff at the other players. And not only that, but the language that is consistently used in games. Now, I understand language is one thing. I curse like a sailor around my kids sometimes. It's not a great thing to do. I don't advise you do it because then they go and repeat it at school and I get the calls, right? But I get the calls from the school saying, you know, your son said dropped an F-bomb in class today. But the viciousness with the things that are being said lately, and especially in Spain. Now, obviously, this is not a one-off. I mean, I was just looking at El Chiringuito posting, which is another cesspool of information. You know, they just they're one of those, it's like the yellow journalism, what we call it, amarillista, as we would say, like the tabloid journalism, which is creating animosity, poking the bear, instigating, creating the drama. And then when the drama kind of gets out of hand and things, real shit hits the fan, they kind of stand back and go, whoa, that's not good, right? That's not, we can't tolerate that. When you've been part of this whole thing narrative for the longest time, they've been doing it with Vinicius, talking about Chiringuito. They've been doing it with Vinicius, you know, until, like, God forbid, until one day somebody runs out of the crowd and tries to hurt this kid. Or, you know, a player loses his mind and tries to, like, break the kid's leg or something. And they're going to be like, oh, no, we can't tolerate that. We can't tolerate that. When you've been doing things like this when you've been saying these type of things and you've been instigating this type of animosity towards the guy for the past 3 years, 4 years that he's been at, more than that, that he's been at Real Madrid, but even more so the last 2 years. So Chiringuito has a way to play in this. You know, Josep Pedrerol, and I say, you know, all the names, I'll bring them up. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm an English language podcast, whatever. If they ever listen to it, you know, they can listen to it. But Josep Pedrerol and fucking Jota Jordi and Cristóbal Soria and all these pricks that are anti-Madridistas. And then they try to like, they try to throw stones, but then, you know, throw stones, but then hide the hand, right? Throw stones and then hide the hand. So essentially they're trying to, it's kind of like, we're going to insult, but then we're going to say, oh, no, 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 we didn't mean it that way kind of thing. You know, like the racist crap they brought up, I forgot the guy's name, thankfully. But the guy that brought up the whole thing with Vinicius and said, you know, oh, if he wants to dance like a monkey or whatever, he should go back to Brazil, that kind of shit. And, you know, all that kind of stuff, this guy brings it up, right? So, and nobody says anything. Because in the Spanish press, and I think, and it's not just Spain, because, you know, there's a reason, and I'm going to bring this up, but there's a reason I think Latin American countries, and I come from a Latin American country. I mean, I wasn't born there, but I grew up there for many years, not in just one Latin American countries, but three Latin American countries. I lived in Ecuador, I lived in Peru, and I lived in Colombia. And it's really the same thing all across the board. There's corruption, there's just a lack of respect of authority, a lack of respect of el prójimo, or like, you know, the people next to you. You know, there is no love thy neighbor. It's like, you know, basically everyone's out to get everybody, you know. And sure, we're a lively bunch and have fun and do all this type of stuff. But then, like, we have things like football and we lose our fucking minds, you know, and we turn into violence. And then you see it happening in Spain, that why can't Spain get a grip on all this violence and racism and stupidity that's happening in their league? And you're like, well, to be honest with you, we are, you know, our entire country is all our countries in South America, we're essentially created, colonized, and influenced by this culture over the years. And so we suffer from the same shit. Just look at Colombian soccer games where people get stabbed, Mexican soccer games where people are getting killed. You have games in Argentina where people, you know, people are assaulted and things are thrown and everything. And it's crazy to me because I see the things that come out of people's mouths are like, oh, it's passionate and you don't understand. You'll never understand the way we celebrate things. We have passion, and, you know, something that you gringos don't have. You Europeans don't have the same passion as we do. Listen, man, that's not passion. That's stupidity. And you're a fucking idiot if you think that throwing things at people, insulting players, all this kind of shit, it makes you a passionate fan. No, you're not. You're not a passionate fan. You are a scumbag. That's what it is. That is the word, the terminology I like to throw out. You know, that is what it is. And so, anyways, going back to like the whole whataboutism, it's just always like, oh, well, what about these? These guys are better than these guys are worse than this. And nobody does this and nobody does that. You know, nobody said this when Thibaut Courtois got hit in the Bernabeu. Nobody said this when you know, Real Madrid fans were calling Pep Guardiola, whatever, you know, where they're calling him a maricón and all this kind of stuff, you know. And yeah, all of that stuff was equally just as bad. You know, sure, as a Real Madrid fan, maybe I'm going to have a bias and be like, that's funny. You know, but at the end of the day, now that I have kids, probably wouldn't want him to be in that environment, right? And now that my sons are playing, soccer or football, I see crazy parents that, you know, talk trash and stuff. And you're like, dude, these kids are 9. Like, relax, you know, relax. It's just a game. And the thing is, it doesn't happen in other sports. Football is the only sport where this kind of crap is consistently happening. You could say basketball, but basketball, it does not happen. At least here in the United States, which is the biggest league for basketball in the world. American football, obviously, we're the only ones that really play the game. But, you know, let's say those two big sports, baseball, you don't see people running out onto the field, cussing people out. You just don't see that. You know, people like to bring up the fact that like Balkan countries when it comes to basketball are just as crazy with like ultras and kind of stuff like that. The Greeks and all that kind of stuff as well. You know, other countries. But the majority of this kind of behavior at like a high, high level, the only sport that tolerates this or seems to have a problem with this type of animosity, hatred, violence at a high level of the sport is football. It's the only one that has that. And thankfully, in other countries, like I would say in the UK, they try to shut it down. When we talk about Real Madrid, they got rid of the Ultrasur. And then people are going to say, oh, well, they didn't get rid of the Ultrasur. They just, you know, they kind of switched them all up. Like those, some of those guys are still there. Yes, I know that some of the heads of Ultrasur who are fascist pricks, you know, are still like now part of like the Grada de Animación and they changed them around or whatever. But the idea is that they separated them and they told them like, either get with the program or we're going to kick you out completely. So it's a way of calming the storm without kicking them out completely. And they did the same with the, I think they're called the Boixos in Barcelona. They did the same thing. And so it's comes time now for Atletico to do the same thing with Frente Atletico. Because I've seen these guys consistently. They're wearing Nazi insignia. They're doing Nazi salutes. I've seen them do it. It's not just one or two people. And this whole narrative that they have in Spain of just one or two people doing things, that is not one or two people doing things. Oh, it's a whole group of ultras, you know? So it's a whole group of ultras. And yes, maybe not every ultra is involved in that stuff. But getting in a group called ultras, to me, honestly, these people that are in ultra groups, man, I mean, you can call yourself an ultra fan. Maybe I would jump into the Grada de Animación, start singing songs and things like that. But the minute that group starts calling other players cunts and starts, you know, telling them that like, you know, I hope you die and, you know, starts talking about their family members and stuff like that. That's not passion, man. That's idiocy. That's not passion. That's stupidity. You're not helping anyone with that. You really think the players on the field are really getting anything from that? They're getting anything from that. If most of these players that are professional, most of them tune all this crap out, all this stuff, whether it's coming from their side of the stadium or coming from the opposing side of the stadium. They're trying to tune it all out and they're trying to stay as professional as possible because at the end of the day, these guys get paid to play this sport, right? So, it's great. Like, once again, football is the only sport with this third world bullshit. You know what I mean? And this is what I have to say to these people, to people that like to defend the type of behavior of Atletico Madrid's, of Frente Atletico, or the Fondo Sur, or the Ultra Sur, or the Boixos, or any kind of ultra group. You are cheering for a bunch of millionaires that play a sport. So you may love it, you love them, you are passionate, but when the game is over, your life continues to be just as crappy. Maybe it isn't, but it's probably just as crappy. You're not a millionaire. Most of you are not a millionaire. If you're in an ultra group, you're not a millionaire. You know, chances are you're not in a millionaire because millionaires don't join ultra groups. They're busy off doing other shit on the weekends. You know, they're probably watching the game, but they're not sitting in with the ultras. You know what I'm saying? So life continues. You're all going to go back to your jobs. You're all going to go back to your regular lives. And meanwhile, the players are going to keep making millions. The club that you so support does not pay you for your loyalty, for the loyalty you say you have for the club. They do not pay you money to support them, you know? So like, while I always defend my colors, you know, I always defend Real Madrid and I love getting into back and forth with banter with friends and friends and people that I know that are fans of rival teams, taking it to the level of insults to players, like I said, calling them cons, calling them, you know, telling them that they're, you know, faggots and all this kind of stuff, telling them that you want to die. It's just outright stupidity. And the only people that do that are mouth breathers who have no identity. Like, you people that do this have no identity other than supporting your favorite football club. Love the club, cheer on the club, be loyal to the club, but don't be a prick for the club. The players aren't asking you to do that. Like, Vinicius isn't asking any of us to, you know, cuss out everybody from the other side. You know, he's not asking us to do that. He himself is defending himself on the field. And my support for him is that call out the racism, call out the bullshit. You know, tell Koke that you've won two European Champions Leagues and he has zero. And that he's never going to amount to anything when he tries to get up in your face. That's banter, dude. That's banter. And that's banter between two guys that are in the same profession, you know? But management isn't asking you to defend them. You know, no one is going to give you a cookie for being your team's number one fan. I mean, I think about this. You throw things at players. You throw things at players. God forbid you might hurt a player. Then you hurt a player. Cops are going to come. Imagine going to jail for a team that couldn't possibly give two shits about you. You know what I mean? Like, you lose your job because obviously you're going to jail. You lose your family because you're probably not going to see them in for a little bit, right? You lose basically your livelihood over a game. Over a game. And you think these guys, these Frente Atlético guys with their masks and their swastikas and their lighters and their flags and whatever the fuck, you know, and just trying to act hard or whatever. And they're probably roided up. You know, they probably try to talk about how they hit the gym every day, bro. And, you know, all the women, you know, these alpha male bros, you know, probably think it's hot. They're like the hottest shit. And I see a lot of you guys on Twitter. I see a lot of you guys on X defending this type of behavior and being like, yeah, dude, we're going to support our colors. We're the fucking baddest asses, man. Like, oh, honor, 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 honor. Fuck your honor, dude. That's not honor, man. That is just being an asshole over a team that doesn't care about you. Griezmann, Koke, all these guys do not care about you. If you end up throwing stuff and going to jail, they're not going to come and bail you out, you idiots. Listen, man, I met Griezmann. He came and was drinking a smoothie here in Miami, right? Drinking a smoothie at a smoothie spot. It's not there anymore. And I approached him and I was like, yo, can I get a picture with you? You know, I didn't say, yo, can I get a picture with you in English? But, you know, kind of was like, hey, man, can I get a picture with you? You know, because it's Griezmann. It doesn't matter that he was with Atletico Madrid, you know? I didn't care. He's like one of the best players in the world. He's he's a very world-class player, you know? He had won a World Cup already, you know, at that time when I ran into him. So I take a picture with him. And then he sees the back of my phone, and I think I've told this story before. He sees the back of my phone, and I say, you know, I'm a Real Madrid fan. And you know what he told me? No pasa nada, tranquilo. Basically, don't worry about it. Take it easy, you know? It's okay. He didn't care because for me, I was like, yo, you're a great player, man. I'm happy to meet you. That, you know, I want to take a picture with you. You know, I don't hate the guy. I'll hate him during the game if he scores on us, but I don't hate the guy. I don't wish him bad, you know, or anything terrible in his life, you know? So imagine losing your, and you know, and I guarantee you, like, if I was his number one fan and I throw something and hit Vinicius, and then I end up going to jail, the guy's not going to give a shit. If anything, he's probably going to be like, I don't want to be associated with that fuckface. This guy throwing stuff at players, man. You know, because for him, it could be on the other side. It could be a Madridista throwing things at him, and it hits him. You know, he's not going to tolerate it. So why would he tolerate, you know, somebody from his supporting end throwing something at players? Like, get a grip, people. Get a grip. And the thing is, if all isn't that, you know, all of this stuff about throwing things and everything like that isn't bad enough, you know, we have the Frente Atlético with their, you know, racist rhetoric and all the you know, racism that they bring into a mix because they can't handle the fact that a black player like Vinicius happens to not only be currently one of the best players in the world, and likely the next Ballon d'Or winner, right? And the fact that he's, you know, an in-your-face kind of player, the fact that, yes, he's provocative and he will, you know, he will clown you, he will join in the banter, he will do all this kind of stuff, you know, you hate him. Hate him all you want. Call him an idiot or an asshole. Yeah, I understand that, you know, you want to draw a fine line with the insults or whatever. But, you know, when you cross the line into making fun of their skin and throwing things at them and making monkey noises and actual intent to do bodily harm, like, again, you're not a man. You're a scumbag. You're a clown. Frente Atlético are clowns. I will say that right now. Frente Atlético are clowns. People at the Chiringuito that support this kind of shit are clowns, like Beton and all these people that come out sometimes defending this kind of stuff, and they don't want to come out and actually say it. Gil Manzano. What is this guy's name? Cerezo and Gil and all these guys that defend these things and say, oh, it's because Courtois was being provocative. Because Courtois, I'm sorry, I am sorry that you're so offended, Frente Atlético fans and Atlético fans. I'm so sorry that your delicate sensibilities are offended by a guy who you've been telling to drop dead the entire game. And when his team finally scores, he turns around and is like, all right, keep yelling at me. That is literally all he did. He didn't turn around and say, hey, guys, why don't you go, you know, take it up to whatever. And he's not telling, you know, your mom should go take it up to whatever. And he's not saying all of that kind of stuff to you. All he said is, you want to keep saying stuff. And yeah, oh, you get all bent out of shape. Oh, he's hurting our honor. He's hurting our honor, man. Fuck your honor, bro. You know, if a player turned around and celebrated in front of me while I'm at Madrid, whatever, with my kids, I'd probably laugh about it, dude. I'd be like, it's football, dude. Banter. You know, I'd be pissed that we're losing, but it's banter, man. It's just, it is what it is, because some of us are normal, level-headed people, you know? And anyway, Frente Atlético, you guys are clowns. Beton, you're a clown. El Chiringuito is full of clowns. And those who support their antics or antics like theirs are also clowns. You guys, I mean, if you're so invested in this game that you're willing to go to jail for the club, a club that doesn't care about you, let's be honest. They love you as fans for sure. But they love you as fans because you're paying a ticket. You're making them money. Like, let's get real here. Let's drop some truth bombs. You're going into the stadium. You're paying a ticket. You are paying essentially the helping pay for the stadium and the concessions and all the kind of stuff that's going on and making the money, which they can end up paying the players and hiring the players for. You know, you're not paying the players' salaries, you fools. You're helping the club get enough money to pay for the player's salaries. But once that team can't pay for the player's salary, that player can easily go somewhere else where he will get paid, you know? So for you to say, oh, we're paying their salaries and all this kind of, No, you're not. No. So, you know, honestly, to be this invested, I understand, love the game. I love it. I love Real Madrid. It breaks my heart when they lose. I feel like shit all day when they lose, especially when they lose against Barcelona, especially when we drew against Atletico when we could have won this game. Yes, I felt the pin in my stomach, that pin in my stomach. I was pissed, right? But that was the end of it, man. You know? For you people that are so invested in this, that it's like your entire identity is Real Madrid and everything and your whole life revolves around Real Madrid. Listen, man, here is some advice from your big brother, Eric, from the Nada Más podcast, right? What I think you guys should do is open a book, touch grass, get a job, make some money, find a girlfriend, and have a life outside of just football, people. It's not that deep. At the end of the day, be a fan. Don't be a dick, right? And two middle fingers to Atletico Madrid and Frente Atletico. Two middle fingers. Not to the and not to the players. Not to the players. Although, you know, I'm not going to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. But the whole Simeone and Coque and Jimenez going and like trying to calm down these Nazi pricks and like ask them permission. It's basically like asking terrorists, can we please have a norm? Can we please have a peaceful game today? Can you guys let us have a peaceful game? We're begging you. You know, we're begging you. That's the team asking these scumbags for permission. So that's a bad thing right there. That was bad. But Atletico probably has a lot of good fans. I've never met one. I'm not that I've never met a good Atletico fan. I don't know many Atletico fans. I think I've never run into an Atletico fan that has told me straight up, I am a fan of Atletico Madrid. But I'm sure there are great Atletico fans with their kids and everything like that. But they tolerate the worst kind of people in their stadium, and that needs to change. For the good of their team, for the good of La Liga, and it's not just their team. It's other teams like Valencia and Mallorca who, you know, have had issues with racism and that kind of stuff. And it needs to get – and like I said, it's not me saying only like Real Madrid is free from all this. No. Real Madrid has plenty of scumbag fans. There are enough Madridistas on Twitter that I can't sympathize with at all. You know, that'll talk trash, that right now, just talking about this game against Atletico Madrid, immediately start trashing Ancelotti. Trashing Ancelotti because of the 1-1 draw. Oh my God. And then every time the game, the team isn't playing up to par, it's just Ancelotti out. This guy sucks. They love to bring up the former coach of the former Everton coach. When, listen, guys, before he was the Everton coach, he was the coach of Inter Milan. He was the coach of Real Madrid. He was the coach of PSG. He was the coach of Bayern Munich. He was the coach of all of those teams, and Chelsea as well, and won titles with all of those teams. Before going to Everton, which I think probably was getting older, thought to himself, I'm never going to get a chance with a bigger team, so I'm going to coach Everton now and try to see what I can do with a mid-table team. No disrespect to Everton, you know? See what I can do with a mid-table team, see what I can do with them. And then when he's in the middle of coaching Everton, you know, Zidane leaves. Real Madrid is struggling for a new coach, right? And you know, Florentino calls Ancelotti, and another beautiful story of Ancelotti coming to Real Madrid begins when he's won two more Champions Leagues and more La Liga trophies. So it's like, I just don't understand the animosity simply because, I don't know, he doesn't play your favorite player. I always say that. I can't stand people. I can't stand Madridistas like that because he doesn't play your favorite player, because he doesn't do what you want him to do, because your FIFA tactics that you play in EAFC, you think that those would be better suited for this team than somebody who's been a coach at the highest level for over 30 years now, right? But you play a little bit of EAFC and a little bit of Football Manager, and you think that, you know, if I just put Arda Güler here and I do this and I do that, sure, we all have opinions. But opinions like are like assholes. Everybody has one, right? And the guy who really, really has the lleva la batuta, or what we say, like, is the one holding, you know, the conductor's little stick thing at the end of the day, is Ancelotti. And so far, regardless of what you might think about him, and regardless of, yes, we're not playing to the best of our abilities yet, but I think, you know, we will, because he's done it in the end. He's done it before. We will get there, and we're still undefeated. We're at 40 games undefeated now under Ancelotti. But some of you still want to call for his head, and some just outlandish things are said about Ancelotti, about some of our players. And I mean, I criticize them too, because it's normal. Like, I criticized Lucas Vazquez, of course, Vallejo coming on the other day and bringing him on, but it was because the Bernabeu started singing his name and everyone's like, give the kid a chance. And I don't know if it was like a meme or a joke or what was going on, but they gave the guy a chance. And I thought, okay, they're giving the guy a chance. We're winning. Well, we were winning 3-0 at the moment. And you're like, okay, well, what can possibly go wrong? Well, everything went wrong. And so that poor kid really did probably not help his cause, right? And at least not for me. Just don't bring him back on. I don't sympathize with that type of Madridismo. I don't sympathize with that. If you're going to start cussing out players and stuff like that and throwing things at people, being a Madridista, that's not my Madridismo. That's not my Madridismo, you know? So I'm not going to sympathize with that. So I'm not going to fall into this whataboutism kind of stuff, right? All right, let's go back to anyway, on a positive note. So let's talk about coming into, yes, I understand that people are pissed at Atletico Madrid, that we lost the game against that we drew the game against Atletico Madrid. We score the goal. Militao scores the goal. Shit hits the fan because Courtois celebrated by waving his hand. You know, all the little girls in Frente Atlético start losing their minds. And I use little girl as a pejorative to say that they're acting like little children, little girls, because no disrespect to little girls who probably handle themselves much better than those idiots in Frente Atlético. But let me just, for sake of the argument, say the little girls of Frente Atlético lose their shit and start tossing lighters and bags of food and bottles and stuff at Thibaut Courtois, the game has to get suspended because, you know, their panties are in a twist because now they're losing the game against the rival that's been their rival forever and that we kind of perpetually always beat their asses. So they're in a tizzy. The game has to get renewed. Obviously, Ancelotti makes some changes. The changes, I agree, were not the best. They weren't exactly what I was thinking. Why is he bringing on Fran Garcia? I think the one that surprised me the most is, why is he bringing on Lucas? Why is he taking off? Who did he take off? He took off Rodrigo, I think. And he took off, obviously he took off Vinicius, but then he's putting in Lucas Vazquez. He's putting in Fran Garcia. You know, maybe he should have done a like-for-like switch with kind of a similar switch with Arda Güler for Modric. Who knows what was in his mind, right? But for me, it was Ancelotti being pragmatic, being the Italian conservative player style that he wants to play, the defensive Catenaccio style of playing, buckering down the hatches. Batting down the hatches, right? And saying, we're going to close this out. We're going to close it with 1-0, with a 1-0 draw. A 1-0 victory. That's what we want. And that's how the game is going to end, right? That's what he was hoping to do. And it didn't happen. But did it happen because Ancelotti did that? Or did it happen because Rudiger and Militao didn't track back and they lost their man, right? They lost their man. Because if you look at the play of that play, you see them both looking at Javi Galán making the run and losing sight. They lose sight. There is a split second that both Rudiger and Militao kind of slow down their pace as they're tracking back, because they're more focused on where Javi Galán is, and they start losing. And it was at the last moment that Militao realizes that Angel Correa is making a run. And by the time he realizes that Correa is making that run, he is already too far away from Angel Correa to catch up with him, you know? And even, it wasn't even the greatest goal after that. It's like, it takes a little, you know, stumble, it hits, it bounces off people, and it gets, and by luck, it falls back into the foot of Angel Correa for him to push it into the goal. That is how the game ended. But it is a momentary lapse in judgment from our defense in the last minutes of a game that they could have closed out. It had nothing to do in a lot of ways. I don't think it had to do with us, putting on, you know, double fullbacks or wingbacks, and saying, you know, that's how we're going to close out with a line of six people in defense. I don't think that was the cause of it. Sure, yes, if you would have gone forward, and offense is the best a good offense is the best form of defense. Yes, we could have had Vinicius run and hold up the ball. But you got to also think about this, too. Let's bring the positive note into it. And I'm going to close out this entire crazy-ass podcast where, you know, with this. But the positive note is that we came into this game, Real Madrid had defeated both Espanyol 4-1, and then Alaves 3-2. Obviously, that game at the end with Alaves got a little shaky. The goals coming from Kylian Mbappe and some of our other guys like Rodrigo and Vinicius, and, you know, Mbappe looking like Mbappe of old before catching an injury, and now it looks like he's miraculously recovered, which is great. Doesn't seem like it was that big of an injury. Thank the Most High for that, you know. But it seemed like we were getting kind of back into form. And so we were starting to see those positives. And things are not all negative despite the draw, because Barcelona lost points. We saw that they can be beaten. They honestly, I believe, to me, Barcelona does not have the depth to continue playing the way they play consistently throughout this entire season, playing the way they've been playing. They make mistakes. Flick has made mistakes. He will make mistakes again. It happens. Games, you sometimes have games where you don't play as well. Sure, we're 3 points behind them, but that can change at any moment. We can win El Clásico, which I think we're the better suited team to win that than they are. It's you got to take and we're still undefeated. So things are not all negative despite getting the draw. Yes, we should have gotten the 3 points. But see, this is where I go back to this whole idea of coaching is a thankless job, because, you know, of all of you hating on Ancelotti. Because I guarantee, and people have little memory as well. Because, yes, Carlo Ancelotti has done so many things for this team, right? And gotten us through so many things. And people like to say, we've won things not because of Ancelotti, but despite Ancelotti, right? But you don't win everything that this guy has won based on luck. You know, he has solid players that seem to buy into his system, that seem to buy into his personality, and will go to war for this guy, and will fight to the death for this guy, and will also fight to the death, combine that with fighting to the death for Madrid, and will play till their legs fall off. And with guys like Fede Valverde, with guys like Vinicius, with guys like Rodrigo, who can be inconsistent at times, but will show up at the most opportune times for us. Now with Mbappe, we've had Benzema, we've had Toni Kroos, we've had Modric, we've had all these guys, amazing guys, with our team. Camavinga, Tchouameni, all, you know, it's just not to name all of them, but we have all these guys, and we've done it with Carlo Ancelotti. So while Ancelotti's changes weren't the best, honestly, I guarantee you, if we would have closed out this game winning 1-0, nobody, including all the Madridistas that want to talk all this trash on X and on Twitter, nobody would have cared that he played that defensively if we would have walked away with 3 points. Nobody would have cared. You know, we would have been happy with the situation and said, huh, maybe Ancelotti had a good idea. Maybe he knew what he was doing. But as I've said before, when it comes to coaching and when it comes to kind of closing out these games, one of the best ways of describing is it's damned if you do, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. Because if you decide to close down shop and play defensively and invite pressure and you hold out the game, then you're a hero. But if you concede, you're a villain. So you look stupid in one way, and you look stupid in one way, a genius in the other, right? No, none of you guys seem to care when Real Madrid played defensively with almost everybody in the box last season in the Champions League, in the second leg. We don't do second legs anymore, do we? Right? No, we don't have away goals anymore. Sorry. In the second leg, when they decided we are just going to sit back and defend, nobody cared. When we won, people didn't care because it ended up leading to us getting the 15th Champions League title, moving on to the final, playing Dortmund, winning the Champions League final. We did that. Ancelotti employed the same tactics, you know? So once again, at that point, great. Gracias, Carlo. Gracias por todo, mister. Right? Thank you for everything, coach. But it's damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So right now he's the enemy because they scored on us. It's just ridiculous, man. It happens. And it's not an easy, it's a Real Madrid derby against a difficult team in a difficult environment, full of a bunch of asshats, full of a bunch of racist pricks, saying all sorts of stuff. A coach that's a goddamn nut job, you know, and guys who love to play you say that we play anti-football, but they play anti-football too. So two sides that just did not want to engage, maybe had too much respect to each other, maybe were too worried about losing because they knew what it meant. They both wanted the win because they knew that a win would get them closer to Barcelona, who's the leader right now. So both of them were worried about making a mistake, and they played conservatively, both of them. And it was a hard game. It's a derby. That's what happens. Draws can happen in a derby because, you know, you're both. So it's a game with a lot of intensity, a lot of pressure, right? So I don't hold it against them. And I'm glad we got 1 point away at the Metropolitano. We're still in second place. We're only 3 points off of Barcelona. We're still undefeated. Try to see the upside in this, guys. Try to stop being such negative Nancys, you know? And then another thing, I mean, Endrick, you know, to bring up Endrick, guy scores a banger versus Stuttgart, and all of us were saying, wow. A lot of Madridistas and a lot of, you know, pundits and stuff were saying, this kid has some balls on him, a lot of personality, you know, he's making a run on goal, he's got Mbappe, World Cup winner, possibly one of the best players in the world at the moment, probably a future Ballon d'Or winner himself, to his left. He's got Vinicius, you know, most likely the next Ballon d'Or winner to his right. He's got these two guys. He's only 18 years, you know, Endrick is only 18 years old. He's making a run at goal. These two guys are open, guys that are probably better suited to take the shot than he is. And he decides to just shoot, like take a shot, and it's a rocket on goal. Awesome. Because he scored it. But a lot of us are swaying, had he not scored it, it'd be a huge problem, right? And today, yesterday, the same thing happened. Endrick, on a breakaway, has Jude to his left making a run, although he's not, you know, so close to goal, but it would have given him more chance. Or you try to hold up the ball till you get, because there were more Madrid players coming than there were Atletico players coming. You try to hold up the ball and try to maximize your chances of scoring. But he decides to take the shot, try and be the hero again like he was against Stuttgart, you know, and try to do the same thing. But as the saying goes, guys, lightning doesn't strike twice. So in this case, it was a bad decision. He wanted to guarantee us a win. We're only up by 1-0. We're only up 1-0 in the Metropolitano, away against a team with a lot of pressure on us. The game is not close to over yet, you know, and he decides to do that. And that is also unforgivable. You know, that is also something that, you know, he needs to reevaluate and be like, okay, listen, man, we loved it when you did it the other day, but we can't, you gotta calm down. You can't do that now. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, guys, that's my story. That's what I'm sticking to, man. You know, that's where I'm at, you know, with this kind of thing. I know this was longer than usual, but, you know, really, it had to be said. and I wanted to say it. It's kind of what I believe. It's the way I think about football. I love football and everything, and I feel it's a huge part of my life, but it's not the only thing in my life. Not so much that I'm going to sacrifice family, friends, my own freedom, my own morality, my own humanity, whether or not I'm a hero in the eyes of my son or being a good moral compass for my kids, I'm not going to risk any of that by being an absolute dick over a football match, right? So that's it, guys. That was today's episode. Thank you guys again for listening to the Nada Más podcast. Really, I appreciate it to all of you. If you have people, friends that love Real Madrid, that are English speaking, maybe they speak both just like I do, but they're interested in getting to know more about Real Madrid, following Real Madrid. Hey, man, tell them to listen to us. We are available, of course, on everywhere you can find your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever. And then, of course, once again, I remind you guys, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can watch the podcasts or you can listen to it if you have a YouTube Music or YouTube Premium or whatnot. Leave it on in the background. But help me with the views. Leave a comment. Leave a like. I'd really appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much for listening once again. And I think that's it. That's all I got for today, man. Thank you very much. And I'll talk to you guys again soon. We play against Lille on Wednesday. Hopefully Mbappe will be back. We'll see what happens. It seemed like he was ready for that. It seemed like he was ready to play again, but we'll see what happens. And with that said, guys, thank you very much again for listening. Talk to you again soon. And a la Madrid always. Y nada más. Stay safe out there, guys. Don't be dicks. Be fans. Love football. Don't lose your minds. All right? Thank you.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid podcast.